I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. I had the chance to sit down with Allison Bull, a great friend and soon-to-be-published author. We talked about the upside of quitting and when it's totally necessary to walk away. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the show, Allison.
Hello, Susan.
It's so good to be here. So
it's great to be here.
Yeah. So I love that we have known each other for like a ridiculously long time.
I know.
We have so many conversations like every other day. About everything.
About everything. And they're always great conversations because we go back now. Last year was our 20th anniversary.
I think it was our 20th anniversary.
Yes, yeah. It was.
So
it's been a while.
It has been a long time. But no, but more importantly than that, let's just put it out there immediately for the listeners. Allison and I are such close friends, deeply connected, and have been each other's sounding board on any given day. Whether it's work-related or just life-related, we have an enormous amount in common, the way we eat, the way we think. And so we are those type of friends that just sort of come together and constantly relieve each other from whatever crazy zaniness is happening in our lives. So,
and let me just say thank you. Yes, yeah. I want to say thank you to you also because there are so many times where I have something going on, and whether it is career related or just like day to day or health related, I've asked you so many questions.
Yeah,
about what I should be eating or
that's what
something
I love.
Else. Yeah, and so I'm able to do that, and I'm really grateful for your friendship.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Thank
I love
you
you.
Very
thank
much.
You. So one of the things that we decided to do is Allison and I recently read the collection of essays in the New York Times called I Quit. And there were like a handful of different topics and different areas that people wrote about. And so we thought, oh, we've used those words before. And we've quit a lot of things in our lives, and we've done it together, or we've done it in support of each other.
Right.
And so we thought it would be very cool to come together and have a conversation about I quit. And so we could start off by both saying, or I could at least start off by saying, that I kind of quit my job and my media career a bunch of times. And even though I still have my hand in it, it was a huge relief to leave the day in and day out corporate environment. So I'm just putting it out there right away. Because I think one of the things that, Al, that you and I can clearly say is, we've like laughed and cried and hemmed and hawed over these different moments. And I know, at least for me, calling you on like a regular basis when I needed to quit my everyday job.
Yes.
It was not easy, but now that I've got some distance between myself and that period, I'm happy to talk about it more publicly.
Well, and I think with everybody's life, everyone has quit something at the right time. Everyone has also like held on to things for way longer than you should have.
Definitely.
When you should have quit.
Definitely.
And what something that we were talking about before is that when I was growing up, my father always said to me, he's like, don't be a quitter. So if there was something out there that I was doing and I hated it, I was like, that's it, I want to quit. My dad would just be like, don't be a quitter.
So you had no permission to
I had no permission to quit.
Oh,
like
I
had to keep doing it. I remember my first job out of college, I worked for a traffic broadcasting company, and I would go into the city at like ungodly hours, like very early in the morning, for 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
And it was crazy. And I was, because what I wanted to be was a traffic reporter. I wanted to be on the air. And that
right,
was the
right.
job I could get for like 22 years old, right out of school. And it was really difficult. There were so many people there, and people that you know, like you've seen them on Channel 7 and Channel 4 in the New York area here.
Yeah.
And I remember just coming home one day, taking the wrong bus home. I got stuck in a different town.
It's like being like 20 minutes out, but yet you feel like 2 hours.
And after a miserable day anyway,
yeah.
and just being tired because I was up since 2 in the morning. And of course, my father happened to be home. So I'm in this other town, and I called him. I said, come get me. I said, I took the wrong bus. I'm like, I'm lost. He comes to get me. I get in the car. I start crying. I said, that's it. I want to quit this job because I hate it. And he goes, you're not going to quit. You're going to go back tomorrow. And I'm in the car. I'm like, no, I don't want to go back tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I did go back in the morning. So the thing I didn't quit. I did come back.
You didn't. But the thing is, that was like, you know, both like an interesting positive and yet a crazy negative because that set you up with a certain message and an idea that you weren't allowed to walk away from situations that might not be working for you. And we both know that we've had other aspirations over the last like 5 or 10 years.
Right.
And that has led us to want to quit the day job. That has led us to want to have more of this appetite for the things we desire and all these side hustles that we are constantly, you know, chipping away at. And so it's a little bit of a double-edged sword when you grow up with this message that suggests, no, you can't quit, or you must stick with something, because where is the liberty then to try new things, right?
You know, it's true, but I guess, and it's not like, because guess what, that was over 20 years ago, and I was not at that job very long anyway. And it, the funny thing is, by the time I actually did quit that job, I was going to a full-time job in radio, so I was very happy.
Right.
So it wasn't like it was
well,
a bad
quit. Well, you're allowed to quit when you have something else,
yes,
of course.
And
yes.
I had a full-time job waiting for me. That was a part-time job.
Cool.
So it was, you know, I probably wasn't going to stay there anyway. But I got a lot out of that job, you know, and I made a lot of good contacts in that job. And I left that job with a supervisor who I kept in touch with for a really long time. And so that ended up being
so good lessons on that side of just learning patience and learning to stick with something and wait it out. And see where the value is and what you can actually extract.
Exactly. Because you don't have to be there forever. But if my father had said to me that day, just don't go back.
You wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have gone back. No, there's no way I would have gone back. I just would have been like, forget it. I'm not going back. Because I was like, I was just like, I hated it so much.
Right.
But by the few months when it went by, I didn't hate it as much.
Right.
You know?
So that was right.
The thing.
So that always like works out.
I guess that
out.
Is the question too, is like sometimes when you are doing
Where do you quit? When do you quit?
When do you quit?
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's always a big question mark.
Right.
I mean, so it's a separate from jobs, you know, we come to a point in our lives where we say, I need to quit smoking cigarettes, which we both used to do a million years ago,
it feels like.
And thankfully, something we didn't necessarily want to quit, something we eventually understood and realized we needed to quit, and probably one of the hardest things to kind of, you know, give up entirely. I don't know about you, entirely on your struggle, but I know for me, it was a little bit of back and forth for years until I finally said enough's enough. And then, you know, you sneak one every few years or whatever. But yeah, thankfully, that's been a long time even for that.
I haven't had a cigarette in 13 years and not even a drag.
Isn't that brilliant?
Like nothing. And I was a pretty heavy smoker and everybody knows that. And you know that.
Yeah, I know that.
I smoked more than you did.
Yeah.
By the time I was ready to quit, I really wasn't enjoying it. And it was one of those things where I had to back up because people used to say, well, why don't you just quit smoking? It's disgusting. You know, your health, it's going to be horrible. But I would say, oh, but I love smoking. And because of that, I just kept on doing it. And I had it in my head that I loved it. But the thing was, I really didn't love it anymore.
Right.
You know, if I ever really had, which I guess is a question.
Right.
But toward the end, I would say, am I enjoying the way this tastes? And then
even when it was like awful, do you know what I would do is like, so I would quit day to day, which actually wasn't so hard for me because I had the ability to go weeks without having one. And then I could totally like, you know, chain smoke on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But what I found to be crazy for me back then, so I would go over and take all these, you know, different trips and I'd drop myself into Paris where everyone was smoking and it was so beautiful and it looked so cool. And it was like, no, I would literally go out and buy a pack of cigarettes, even if I hadn't smoked in months. And I'd be like, oh no, I'm smoking with all the French people.
Because they look good smoking.
They look good smoking. And
no
I was just
what
like,
you say,
how
they
could
they
you
definitely
not
look,
smoke in France? We're
oh
going to smoke in France.
They look better than I look smoking.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was also, I played so heavily into that crazy scene and, well, thank goodness even I can do all those things and travel now and not pick up
not feel the need to go buy
those Galois Blonde and, you know, all that fun stuff. But yeah, but smoking was another area that felt harder to do, even though not forbidden, clearly. We wish for people to quit smoking. Let's talk about quitting meat. You and I have both gone through meatless vegetarian years.
Right.
We've even gone through some dairy-free, meatless years. So we both know what it feels like to walk away from foods or categories of foods that don't make us feel good or that we're experimenting
right.
in
right.
a healthier corner. And how did that make you feel quitting? Did you feel like you had to justify and explain yourself to people, or did you
yes.
feel really like...
Because when you quit meat, and it's funny because everybody that doesn't eat meat will hear know exactly what I'm talking about, is the, where are you going to get your protein? And like,
yeah.
and everybody, especially anybody who's a vegan, vegetarian, you start saying things like that. And people who really don't know a lot about health at all, and I'm not saying that I do, I don't have any degrees
no, but you,
or anything.
You know, you've taken different pathways in and educated
sure.
yourself. Yeah.
Yes. So, but people would say things to me like, well, what's going to happen? You're going to get sick all the time. The thing is, I don't. And I haven't had meat in 10 years now. This year, it's been 10 years. Actually, last month was 10 years.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
10 years ago, we didn't see meatless Mondays on menus. And
there was nothing like that.
You know, doing that lifestyle 10 years ago was quite a bit foreign to the general public, even though there are certainly plenty of vegetarians
right.
And vegans for like 20, 30, 40 plus years. It's
yes.
not that they didn't exist, but the idea of it was still very like looked down upon and,
right.
oh, you must be like strange. So it's actually a really big deal that that long ago you made a decision that was kind of against the establishment, if you will.
But in 10 years, as you say, so much has changed. Because,
of course,
I mean,
thank
even
goodness.
The meat substitutes now, 10 years ago, they were completely vile.
Oh my God, they were
they
like
were
hardcore.
They were vile. I mean, there was nothing.
Not
and,
an option.
And that is nothing to say. You know, whoever was making them at that time, God bless you, because they were doing something to
they
try
were trying.
To alleviate
they
a problem.
They were trying, yeah.
But
outside of black beans, they were trying.
Yes, because they weren't very good.
Right.
Now, though, the options in all these restaurants are incredible.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what's even happening in fast food restaurants, you know, no matter how you
sure.
might feel about that, there's an option for somebody that doesn't eat meat.
Well,
so
it's a big deal.
It's easier
I don't,
and better now.
I don't eat a lot of meat. I do eat meat, but I don't eat a lot of meat. But what's interesting is that I don't do fast food. I prefer not to.
Right.
But, like you know, I've been on a variety of like cross-country road trips these last couple of years. And when you are traveling, you may not
your
have
options.
Options
are very limited.
That's
yeah,
right. The
are.
Interior
really...
of our country is a crapshoot just in terms of depending on where you are, what those options look like.
Right.
So you're right. Thank goodness that some of the fast food environments mm-hmm. have had something to offer. And I've been able to stop and get something to eat on the road and not feel like I'm chewing on some granola bar only.
Right, yeah, because
when
that's,
I'm starving.
That's all that's out there for
exactly.
you. But I think the best thing that really did come out of that, and yes, people said things to me. I mean, I heard all kinds of ridiculous comments from you know, friends and family and everything, and people still will say things, and they'll just be like, can't you just eat like everybody else? And I'm just like, I don't want to eat like everyone else.
Right.
Like, this is my choice. I don't push it on anybody. You know,
of
like
course
I,
not.
I don't.
Right.
I just say, this is what I do, and if anybody would like to know some really great recipes, ask me because
yeah.
I've got a ton of cookbooks. But the thing that came out of that for me though was that I learned to cook healthy meals.
Right.
I can't say that I do them all the time.
No.
And just because of time.
But it forces
and
you to explore.
You have to do something.
That's right.
You
and
do.
It forces you to work with foods that you would not normally have necessarily tested out
absolutely.
Or, right? Like you do a lot of that. I
do.
Love that.
And
yeah.
I've eaten so many things that I never ate before.
Right.
And when I really do stick with, it's an effort. I'm not going to say that it isn't, but when I really stick with cooking vegetarian with soups and meals and snacks and roasted vegetables, when I stay like that, my mood is better.
Right.
I feel better.
Yeah.
My weight is more maintained. I
right.
mean, it was really
it's
a lifestyle.
Clear and evident that that level of like care for yourself and health is
yes.
showing up.
Yes, it is. And
yeah.
it really does make a huge, huge difference. So that is one thing that I did quit. And I didn't know what would happen when I quit that. The reason why I quit that is because I read an article about the way animals are treated
yeah.
In that system. And it was heartbreaking to me. You know, I love animals. And that broke my heart. And I just said,
yeah.
I said, well, I'm done with that. And that's 10 years ago. And I was done with it. You
yeah.
know?
For
so,
me, it was Michael Pollan, you know, and just talking
yes.
about
yeah,
the way in which food is even processed and made. I think aside from, and we can, you know, a lot of people feel a certain sensitivity toward the way animals are treated and the cruelty in any one of those
right.
fields where we're utilizing animals for that purpose. But for me, above and beyond that,
mm-hmm.
I think it was, I don't want to support a system that does it in a way that's not just cruel, but that's unhealthy.
Exactly.
That's concerning
right.
to me, and that feels
well, and
like we should take note of and maybe make some different decisions as it relates to utilizing those products.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So once you start delving into, because I didn't know anything about it. I knew nothing about that whole system because like I just ate what I ate and that was it.
Thank you, 60 Minutes, for bringing us all those inside stories.
Yeah, exactly. but that was one thing that I
quitting
that,
was good.
And I quit it and it was really good because I never went back and it did change my life and it changed it in really positive ways. And yeah, it wasn't always easy, but for the most part,
it works now. Yeah, it totally works now.
And it really is different, though. Like, the amount of information that's available to people.
It's a complete lifestyle.
I mean, in 10 years, it's a completely different world. Yeah. It really is a completely different world.
I love that about that.
And I'm glad.
Yeah, no, I'm glad, too. And so that's an awesome thing that we quit. Again, another thing. So we're finding really positive ways to talk about quitting. I mean, it doesn't always feel positive. And certainly sometimes we have to make decisions about quitting that are a struggle. And so for me, I could say in the last couple of years of my life, I've had to quit certain relationships.
Right.
I've actually had to make very hard decisions about people that were bringing joy or people that were bringing a certain amount of kindness and excitement to my life versus those who were making me just feel bad about myself or question myself or leaving me feeling like, I don't know, icky and strange and less than vibes that were eating away at me and seriously imposing on my brain and my body and my day-to-day.
Yes.
That's the best way I could sort of describe that. And the weirdest thing about it is that it took me so long to get to a point where I could literally let go of people.
Right.
Where I could say...
Because did you feel like the bad guy because you weren't letting them go?
Well, it was like, so we read a lot of these like little comments and expressions, at least I have been doing that lately, where, you know, something to the degree of, you know, when you allow people who treat you poorly to then make you feel like you're wrong for being annoyed about it, right?
Yes, yes.
So I was in relationships and friendships with people who didn't make me feel good about myself, who always made me feel like awkward or like I was defending myself or like the energy between us was bad and I always felt to blame.
Yes, yes.
And the thing is, it went on like that for like a really long period of time.
Yeah.
And it was always like up and down, it felt like. You know, I had family relationships, friend relationships, romantic relationships, and I had a lot of that going on in different corners of my life. Even in like the workplace, I'd find sometimes I would be connected to people and that's how it would feel. That similar thread would run through. And so after a long period of time of having that occur, first it was like in the workspace, I decided that I no longer wanted to work in the company of or be connected to people deeply that kind of made me feel that way, shitty basically.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, romantic relationships that weren't ideal for me. That was actually, believe it or not, easier to, you know, kind of ward off and decide that weren't good for me.
Yeah.
It was family and friendships, though,
Those are very hard.
They run deep and they run long, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and those were the ones that were the hardest for me to decide that I could walk away from.
Right.
That I could literally just let go and say, I'm not doing anything more to invest in this. I'm going to let go.
And that's it.
What was really interesting to me is when I finally got to that point and I let go, I found that the other parties did too.
They did too. So it was that time.
And so it was mutual.
Right.
And so...
So it was time for both of you to quit the friendship.
Oh my God.
Really, in such a
big way.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because all of the feeling that I had, the annoyance I had toward other people, the anger or negative feelings that were constantly like alive when there was connection.
Right.
As soon as there was no longer connection, I didn't feel any of that.
Yeah, it
As
went
a matter
away.
Of fact, I no longer felt like I was blaming anyone. Yeah. I didn't feel like it was the other person's fault. I didn't feel like it was my fault. I felt like it was of no fault at all of anyone's. I felt like it was two ingredients that never belonged together to begin with.
Yes.
I felt like it was vinegar and milk. Like I just felt like it was two things you'd never mix because they would never actually produce something of any good.
Right. Right. That's
in any
very
way.
True.
And I just was like, you know what? If it wasn't working for me, there's no way it was working for them.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That was also a form of forgiveness.
Yes, it is.
For staying in something too long. It was a form of forgiveness that if I ever left you feeling the way you left me feeling, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, right.
Right? It was all of those things that I decided I wanted none of that yuckety yuck anymore in my space.
Yeah.
And if to let go of it meant like dropping, you know, your hands to the side and letting the balloon float up.
Right. Because I think that there gets to be times in situations like that, and especially with family, it almost is easier, to your point, to let go of a romantic relationship or something that's really not that invested, because your family's your family. You've known them your entire life.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then a lot of the times, friendships run very deep too, that they might be long-term friendships, but if you're...
But even the short-term ones with, I think it's the type of exchange you have, it's the depth of the intimacy
yes.
that you exchange in whatever period
sure.
of time.
Sure, you can just meet somebody. I mean, I have a friend like that I met just a few years ago on a job that I had, and it's just, I knew right away we were just going to be great friends, and we are, you know. So it's really a great thing. I think though that it does make sense, and one thing that I learned from you also is there's such a tendency we have, and I've done this my whole life, and I've had to really rethink the way I look at a lot of relationships, no matter what, you know, friendship, work related, whatever they are. It's very easy to vilify the other person.
Absolutely.
Instead of taking responsibility for how I am reacting to what that is. Because the thing is that when we keep on vilifying the other person, we completely give every bit of power we have over to that other person. And that's where I think that once you start thinking about things that way...
Well, it becomes lopsided, you mean?
Yes, it does. Because yeah. it's like, well, they're doing this to me and they're bad for doing this to me. And I still do this now. I still do with a lot of things. But I do have to turn around and say to myself, is this really...
Well, who's in control here?
Who's
in...
That's
and why
exactly
would
it.
Their...
Like,
why
you
would
still the, have control.
Right. Like, why you is do. What their action... Why are their actions making me feel bad? Detach.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Just because, detach yourself. And that has... You know, it goes to the four agreements, which, you know, right. I'm trying to live and breathe by more than ever, of right. not, don't take anything personal.
Don't take anything personal because something happened.
It's not about you.
Because I had an exchange with somebody that I didn't, and this person I don't get along with very well, mm-hmm. any whatever, but it was stupid of me to engage in this conversation because what you said to me after I got so mad about it, but you said she's not an advocate for you. So why would you go down that road for her? And that really did like resonate with me because I said, you know something? It was my own foolishness. Like this person's not a champion for me. This person's
right.
not my friend.
Right.
Really. I mean, and why do I expect anything else out of her? I
yeah.
should not. And that really does like, it changes your perspective on relationships like that because you do know, you have to say to yourself like, well, I have my own agency over how I react to things. This is something I try to instill this in my kids now too, because...
Oh, because like, kids today, they could slight each other and their expectations that are lopsided
yes.
and that creates like a lack of boundaries and... And then they're worried about everyone else instead of themselves. And, oh, there's
yeah.
a whole
and
thing that goes into play
and
there.
Still, and they're still young.
That's
you know,
right.
They're still maturing everything else. But my son had, he was in a baseball game and he did something. He made a bad play and some of the kids said something to him. And he was really upset. And he was really more upset that he made the bad play.
Sure.
Than
disappointed everyone.
Yeah, and he disappointed everyone. And what I said to him, though, was... I said, number one, I said, every single one of those kids that said something to you also had their own bad plays in the field.
Of course.
I said, that's number one. But I said, number two, I said, if you're going to play sports, you're going to have to know that people are going to say things to you, that your teammates will say things, your coaches are going to, people on the opposite team, people in the stands. So instead of like, I didn't want to vilify those and be like, oh, what horrible kids, because they said
no,
something to you.
No, of course
because
not.
Because it doesn't matter.
They'll cheer you
but
in one breath and oppose you in the next, and that's just a part
of
the
part
game.
Of, that's a part
yeah,
of the game. And
yeah.
that's what I was trying to say, and I say this to both of my kids. I have a son and a daughter, and I say sometimes like they'll tell me stories of a kid that says something that's not that nice to them, and I say, first of all, you have to ask yourself, like, is it true? Because one kid said something to my daughter one time and she was just like, well, you're not a good artist. My daughter's a wonderful artist. But I said, you know, you might want to get upset about that, but
it's all
you know in your heart that it's not true. Don't
right.
worry about
keep
it.
Keep creating,
you know, like,
kid. Keep creating.
Exactly. But now I try to take that to heart in my own life. Like if somebody says things, like I know what's true and what's not true.
Sure.
You know, I really do. And it's not like I'm not open
well,
to people like telling me how to improve.
No, but it's not that. But it's also like, okay, you'll decide what works for you, and you'll be the judge of your own like creativity and your own life and this and that. And that's why sometimes we have to quit relationships and we have to quit people. You know, the ones that really infringe on our ability to grow or to know better or to have.
Or if somebody's putting you down, you need to quit that person.
we all know it's like, if we want a certain like kind of life, we have to make room for it, right? We have to make room for the right people to come in. We have to make room for the right job to present itself. We have to make room to create. So it's like, whether it's our time or it's the people or it's the way in which we want to, you know, work, we have to make room for it. You I don't know about you, but like as soon as I've, you know, quit relationships of different sorts, all of a sudden I had new people coming into my space, and there were people, good people who like supported me in terms of we had more in common. So I support them, they support me. And like, it was more of a, felt like an even exchange and more of a positivity that went on. And we were, you know, I felt like I've learned so much and I've grown so much from the people that are now in my space. And
well, look at how many people you've met just by starting your own business. And how many positive and great relationships that you're, amazing. I mean, it's really like this time last year, look at the difference for you. I
100%.
Mean, it's a giant difference.
Which is goes to the whole idea of, you know, if you really, really, really want to quit that job and go out on your own, I support it. That's a quitting that I can get behind.
Well, because one thing I quit years ago that I revisited, though, was when I got out of college also, I always wanted to be a writer. And I started writing a book because before I had that job that I came home crying when my father made me go back, I didn't have a job like a lot of people out of college. And I started writing a book. I quit writing the book, though, because I ended up going to work and it was very hard. So anybody who's ever written a book, you know, it's not an easy task. It really isn't, especially when you have, if you're writing, if it's a work of nonfiction, fiction, whatever it happens to be. Anytime you're working on a big project like that, it's a difficult thing, which is why you'll hear so often somebody will say, I'm writing a book, and you'll always find out a lot of the times they don't finish it.
I would imagine first-time writers especially.
Especially, because you don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing. If you don't have anybody around, which I didn't, because again, this was right out of college. There was no internet. You know, there wasn't a group to go out there. You know, I mean, I didn't have anybody. So if you're taking on a project like that and fumbling through it, it's very difficult. And I quit that so many times over the years. And then one time when I was 38, I said to myself, I'm like getting to a point where I'm probably, I don't know when I'm going to die. You know, not to be like morbid or anything, but that's really the thing, is that for all of us, you never know when it's going to be lights out. And if you're not doing what you want to do in this world, you know, there's something that's always been nagging. That nagged at me for years. It really did. It nagged at me for
years. Life is short. You get to a stage where you start to like feel the impact or the essence of that.
Yes.
Whether you lose someone or you just have a reckoning and an awakening. And all of a sudden you realize, you know, like I cannot waste any more time.
And that's how I
have
felt.
To sort of quit my bad habits in order to make space to kind of create and produce and do the things that are more meaningful to me. And again, that's where quitting is okay.
Yeah, that's where some quitting. And so the thing is, I started the next day. I got up early at like 5:30 in the morning
and
I started
writing. You declared.
I said, I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
So I wrote a book and it was horrible. It was like the worst manuscript.
It doesn't matter. The bottom line is
but I finished
you
it.
Decided yeah. that it was going to be something that you were going to pursue and that was important to you. And so the theme is like quitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just want to make, you know, it clear that you are not alone in terms of being raised with this idea and this notion that quitting always sounded like a bad, dirty word. Quitting always sounded like, oh, only losers or weak people quit. And so I think, you know, growing up, we felt that, you know, it wasn't an option and that we would really have to tough it out. And I don't even know if gender is really a part of this. It is, maybe it isn't, but I know for sure that, you know, I mean, I don't know how many men feel this way, but I imagine that they might feel like it's even a heavier dynamic for them and there's more pressure there. But at the end of the day, quitting always felt like it was the wrong thing to do. But I think the conversation in both the essays that we've just read, as well as our own experiences quitting all sorts of things, you know, quitting is not a dirty word, and quitting
it's not
something in order to have what you truly want, that's really the conversation here today. That's really what it's about.
And I think really what it is that it's an intelligent decision, because it is true that if you make a habit of just quitting everything, you won't get too far in life, because if you constantly don't give things a chance,
right,
you're going to miss out on a lot. So when I wrote that first manuscript that was horrendous, I rewrote, then I just said, I got to rewrite it. I rewrote another one, which was less horrendous, horrendous. But less horrendous. But by the time, like, the book that I'm shopping around now and hopefully going to get
a deal
one of these days, it will happen. But this manuscript I'm really proud of. And it's like I worked on it very hard. But there were so many times where I said to myself, and I had two little kids, a job, you know, a household to run. And it was a lot of work. And I still got up early and did that. And that's not to pat myself on the back, but it's just really to say that when you do want something, there are times when you do want to quit. Like, there were so many times where I was just like, why am I bothering? Like, this is so freaking hard.
It's a different kind of feeling, I imagine.
But like, you know what?
Quitting against your passions is like, you know, that level of defeat. I'm sure it feels really different. And I feel the whole point, hopefully, dreams and detours, people.
Right.
The whole point is to figure out, you know, which part of your life is the part that, you know, happened, or that either the path you went down that, you know, is okay to wake up and say, I kind of quit this, or I do not wish to pursue this anymore. I don't want this. And then the stuff and the passions that you either haven't tapped into or you haven't fully fleshed out. And those are the ones where even when you're having frustrated days and, you know, you're feeling like at a loss and like you might want to quit, but you don't, because you know that those are the ones that you truly deep down are looking to pursue and to, you know,
because
see come to fruition.
When you're doing that work, like, so for me, it's writing, and you have good days and bad days. Some days the words are coming out. And other days it's like I'm sitting there like trying to grind out a sentence and it's difficult. But I feel different when I do that work. So when I get up early in the morning, and I'm working on a second book right now, but when I do that work, I can go into my day feeling like a different human being.
Totally.
Completely. Because I did my real work. You know? So even when my real job, you know, or, you know, everything else, the other million things I have to do, I do feel a million times better because I'm doing that work. So that's why that work.
Well, and that's what's going to inform listeners. Like, if they're in the situation where they're.
Don't quit.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, that's the whole point. It's like the message is, if you know that you're supposed to be in that place and in that space, do not quit.
Don't quit. That's when you just
dig down. Or like I say to Allison when she calls me in her frustrated states, go outside.
Yes.
Take a walk around the corner, get some fresh air, and
take
just
some
breathe.
Deep breaths.
I'm known for that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what's on the potential plate. You know, we were just having conversations about 2020, new decade, new year, blah, 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 and how there's so much pressure to like really make this bold, and we're at the start of the year. So, you know, we have a lot riding. What is on your plate to quit this year? Is there anything that you've thought about that you're like, okay, these are the things I want to eliminate. This is what I want to reduce.
My big thing, and it's funny because I was at a company where we had a human resources department that we used to have this presentation, and one part of it was start, stop, and continue. Mm-hmm. All right. So the one thing, and it was always just ask yourself, and it doesn't have to be like in business or anything else, like, what are you going to start doing? What are you going to stop doing? And what are you going to continue?
Okay. What are you going to start doing?
So what I'm going to start doing is talking more positively to myself.
Oh, good.
Because
good.
As you know this, I'm so incredibly hard on myself. And I'm hard on myself in a way that I would never, ever be hard on anybody else.
No, it's how it always goes. Good.
Yes.
You have to do that.
Starting to speak to myself positively.
Uh-huh.
More positively, because I'm not too bad. But
it doesn't matter. You have to. So what are you going to stop?
Stop speaking to myself so negatively and get off my own back. You know, so it's like they're kind of like the same thing.
Give me something better than that. What are you going to stop doing? Because we already, once you start positive talk, you will get rid of negative talk because you can only talk so much. So give me something better on the stop.
On the stop?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. That's a hard thing because I'm not really sure what I'm going to actually...
What, you're going to quit?
Stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit?
Yeah, because that's what stop is. What are we going to quit this year?
I don't know. What are you going to quit this year?
This year, I am going to quit looking at my physical presence as being, like, you know, bad. Like, so gain a few pounds... don't work out, then I'm back into the swing of things, or eat this or eat that. I'm going to stop my own kind of negative thoughts about, you know, body.
I think that's
and presentation of myself. I'm just going to allow myself to be, because, you know, my word this year is being. So I'm just going to be and not give myself such a hard time about what that might be like.
I think that's really
There's always trade-offs. What are you going to reduce?
Some sorts of junk food that I like.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it is. Just because it just doesn't make me feel good. It tastes good. It's delicious.
Yeah, but it doesn't make me feel good. Brain's a little bit hazy and foggy.
And I think that's one of those things.
I'm going to do that too. On the reduce side, if I had to talk about not a quit, but so much a reduce, I would say to you, yeah, I like to snack a little bit too much at times, or like it's my go-to for certain things.
But what I'm going to continue though, I'm going to continue shopping my novel around, and that's what I might do.
That's it.
And I'm fine with that, you know, and that's what I really think, that it's like by the time 2020 does wrap up, I will be somewhere with that. I don't know where. I can't tell you where that's
going to be. Got to manifest that stuff. You have to manifest that stuff. You have to see it. You have to actually visualize it to be true, and that's how that all rolls out. Well, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about quitting, but I wanted to say it in like a positive way, and I wanted to talk about why sometimes we have to quit things because it's better for us and it's healthier for us, and it actually creates the space for us to explore all the great things that are meaningful and that we desire. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Yay. Thanks for chatting with me about it.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. I love it.
Yay. Alrighty. Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.